actually who, how many may have actually followed him afterwards, you know, who threw in the towel and said, I'm not doing this anymore.
I think obviously it was slow, but as we know through history, and Paul, you can talk about that, that it was, this was obviously the very, very beginning of the fall of Rome.
Yeah.
right. I mean, exactly, you know.
Right.
That's it.
Well, Saul to Paul 6 months later.
Yeah.
Right. And then Christ was seen by a lot of people according to the Bible at this time.
Right.
So that started the whole vibe. But wait a minute. People saw him in the flesh. Yeah. I mean, that radiated, you know.
It's like, where is he now? All this stuff happened way back then. It's like, all this magic. What's happening now?
You're ready for him to just come through. Right here.
Hasn't this script been around for like a decade or so? It's been a while?
I think about 8 years or so.
8 years?
The script was written in 2007.
Okay. And what's the history? Why so long? How did it finally happen?
You want me to jump in?
I'll jump in.
Thank you. Obviously, you know, Paul wrote the script, and we thought it was an incredible script, and we sort of, this group that you're sitting here right here came together. And, you know, I think that, there's the obvious thing that it takes a long time to develop something like this and to show it to so many different people, churches and priests and, you know, scholars and all that, and you don't want to get this wrong. You know, we just didn't, you know. So we weren't in a hurry. We knew we wanted to make a movie that was great. I think when we finally got it there, and obviously when Kevin came on and Joe Fiennes and Cliff Curtis and Tom Bell, we felt like it was the right, you know, we felt like the script obviously was ready and we were ready to shoot it. But more than that, I think, I personally think that this is the right time for Risen to come out. I think in the world, you know, I think, you know, Passion of the Christ, that might have been the right time for that to come out, obviously. You know, it did whatever it did, you know, that, and that was told the crucifixion story, but man, I think we can use a resurrection story right now. That's me. I think this 2016 could be a better time for it. I know I need it, so I think it's a great time for it.
Was there much feedback from any of you, much feedback from the faith-based community while you were writing, after, and what? How did you handle it?
My Catholic mom looked at me and said, "Finally, you make a good movie."
So we vetted it the whole time through. But I mean, it takes most films a long time to gestate and get to the point of being shot. Yeah, we showed this to a lot of priests, a lot of people. Showed the film when they were cutting the film. They showed it to a lot of audiences to really tweak it, because we wanted it to be entertaining for the masses and also for the faith-based community.
And was it indeed tweaked?
Oh, yes, of course.
But in the best way.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe after you all see it, well, it's still... No, no, absolutely. We did that on purpose, because we didn't think we were experts. No one... You know what I mean? Everybody has a different point of view. I understand that. So we showed it to so many churches and Catholic priests and people, and let them weigh in and say, well, what do you love about it, and what really bumps you in here? And, you know, we'd always find like one thing, we're like, well, actually, we don't need that. That's not as important. Or if that's the one thing that's stopping you from enjoying this film, we can work on that. And we go back in and work on it. So I actually think it's a great way to make this film, because at the end, I mean, you know, by the last times, you know, over the last month or whatever, when we've been showing it, we don't run into all those problems anymore. Most people are just like, I really love that film.
We also showed it to rabbis, too. Mm-hmm. And different types of Catholicism and Christianity. So we covered the bases methodically, because their input historically and religiously are important, and sure, you want to get it right, because we took a long time to nurture this through to get it right and to have a movie that is uplifting.
That's what it really is.
And that was the point, ultimately, is make an uplifting movie about this story in an original way.
We all kind of agreed that it's even though it's kind of, you know, religious in some ways, but it's not overly religious, but it's a great detective story.
That's what
Kevin yeah. that was Kevin Reynolds and Paul. Let's tell a story. We know we're going to get hopefully our faith based, mm-hmm. but why don't we try to throw some magic into it and give mainstream audiences a chance to come and take a look at this movie and tell a detective story through the eyes of Claudius. So that was really a Kevin. Kevin really wanted to make that part of the story.
Yeah, he loves the film noir films, it's so great, and so it holds up, I think, just to movies. And I actually think the faith based and other audiences deserve a movie like this that feels big in scope with good actors and great directors and good production design and all that, I think it's really time that, you know, there's no separation between, oh, this is a small faith-based film and then these big films. You know,
right.
I think we really tried to walk that line of like, why can't everyone just enjoy a film, you know? And if it's not, if it's, you know, again, if you're not faith-based and you don't feel that way, you should just go and see a good, great detective story
mm-hmm.
and ask the question, what do I think about this time?
You mentioned production design. Was that city all constructed, or was that CG, or what?
Which?
No CG.
No,
no
CG.
Pete can speak to this. I'll just say this about Malta. We maximized our ability. We maximized what we could shoot in Malta, because most of what you saw on screen from Malta, that's all there.
It's there.
Oh, it's there. And Kevin had shot the Count of Monte Cristo there, so he was familiar with it years earlier. He knew exactly where he wanted to go, and then...
Yeah, we added some CGI to existing city walls, and
right,
you know,
of
course,
very little.
Scope-wise, we added a couple of stuff to cities that were already there. But Spain, what you saw in Spain, the Sea of Galilee and desert, that was all real.
Cool.
We wanted the Lawrence of Arabia
CG.
Feel, the Lawrence of Arabia feel, the Zhivago feel. We wanted the big scope and scale in Malta and Spain. Coming together gave us that opportunity.
Because you couldn't get everything in Malta, so you. The desert portion and the water and Sea of Galilee was all Spain.
Yeah, and it was so important to Kevin, which I love, and this is why...
He didn't want to do a lot of CG.
Yeah, why we hired him, because he said, you know, I'm just, you know, I go into those CG movies and just think, oh, that didn't feel real, and that didn't feel real, and he was like, and this was such a tough, dirty time, and the Romans were so, you know, so brutal and everything, and he wanted to show all of that. He was like, I can't do that by, you know, making you feel that. You need the sweat and the dirt and all the stuff that you felt, and it really happens in the battle scene, and crucifixion, you feel that, like, this is not a time that you want to, you know, that it was fun to,
you can't make this
time
pretty,
be alive.
It was brutal,
yeah.
You know, it was brutal.
When you were writing it, what were some of the things in doing your research that you were surprised by or that you found were so fascinating?
Well, I knew the story, I don't think I was surprised by anything. We're trying to tell it through a different set of eyes. It was really, and then of course having a fictional character gives you the leeway. You know, and the way it finally ends up with the film, which is very interesting with the detective story, the audience is ahead of Clavius.
Uh-huh.
No, and we
I
see
never
thought
about
him. Okay. No, that's why
okay.
We see him change because he's interviewing Mary Magdalene. We know Mary Magdalene,
right.
And that's why only a little bit of Mary Magdalene goes a long way.
Sure.
Yeah, so. Yeah, so I mean, was I surprised? No, I knew the story very well, but I read a lot of books about it. But I mean, the Bible is so limited; it's 5 chapters.
Right.
It's very limited. But I mean,
did
people
you, like,
have written
go research of that time.
Oh, of course,
yeah.
of course. Yeah.
We've been surprised by is how everyone loves to go through the journey and visit the story through Clavius's fresh eyes, because the audience connects with Clavius. Clavius is the audience, so as we are experiencing the story through his eyes, we feel very connected to him and his journey. Which is very kind of uplifting at the end.
For me, I think I was surprised in all the research and the years that we spent on this. I think Paul and Kevin did an incredible job with this. I was really surprised at the doubt that the apostles had. You know what I mean? And I think that really shows in the film that they were real people. And there's times where, you know, Simon Peter's like, I don't know. You know, what do you want? I mean, I don't have all the answers. I love that. I'm, you know, again, where you all found all of this. I mean, it's I'm sure a lot of it's hearsay, but I think they became real characters for the first time in my life. Before, I just read them and I'm like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, you know, I just had it down to where just, it was like, okay, some people writing some stuff down, but they really became alive, and they had the same thing. They're like, I don't know what to do, he's gone.
Bartholomew cracked me up. He's like the hippie guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
slow.
Whatever. I love that. Yeah.
That was Kevin.
Really.
How about Stuart as Peter, Simon Peter?
Yeah.
Powerful, right?
Yeah.
A man who was shaking. And questioned himself. Ultimately, at the end, he is determined with staff.
You know, one interesting thing that I found in a lot of the research was a lot of people take as history the reason why they think this is real is the transformation of the disciples.
Yeah.
Because it does talk about how they were scared before,
sure.
And then all of a sudden, after this, they're walking into the Sanhedrin. Right? They weren't hiding anymore. They finally stood up to them. So that transformation is in the Bible. Yeah.
That and the fact that the apostles. Were together 24/7. They became best friends on this journey.
Which, speaking of the production, our apostles, our disciples at the time, and the cast was very, very well handpicked. Everyone was very much handpicked, and they became a family. They ate together. They hung out together the whole time.
All the time.
I mean, we're talking about a long production schedule. they became a family, and it was a real wonderful experience because that was captured on screen.
Except apparently for Joe and Cliff.
Yes.
I know.
Apparently they didn't speak.
They didn't speak until that rocks.
On purpose. Yeshua did not speak to anybody.
Anybody?
Including,
no.
Yeah. He the only time he spoke
even
was
to Kevin.
Yeah.
That was actually...
That's a little weird.
I know.
Casting Cliff was actually kind of a little bit of brilliance there.
That's
all
Patrick.
Patrick.
Who was the hardest role to cast?
Yeshua.
Yes.
Christ.
By far, yes.
I mean, you're
for sure.
You're
but
proclaimed.
He looks like that. I mean, it was all very authentic.
Every.
And
he
served.
Yes.
He conserved his essence on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So he stayed away from us. He lived away from us.
A vow of silence.
He ate a certain way. He meditated all the time.
So it was some method acting.
Yes, but
he didn't want to stay at a 5-star hotel. He wanted
a humble
home in a village.
He was completely saturated in the spirit and consciousness of what he understood that person to be in those times. And by not communicating and expressing in essence, he was able to first communicate with Joe on screen for the very first time. And if the camera got it, great. And the camera got it.
Yeah.
And he's loving. Most importantly, Christ to Clavius is very loving and accepting. And that is also what was captured.
And who brought Joe into this, by the way?
They're in the same agency, and Joe came to us from the agency. But once they met at the Iberia Lounge in Madrid, it was instant.
A lead actor met the director in an airport business lounge.
That's how they met.
Just to be clear,
yes,
we had to put them in the middle of the world.
But Kevin came back and he was like, "It's done. We found it." So there was no question. Everyone else on the list was just sort of gone away. We're like, "Okay, we got our guy," and then it just started from there.
But as a team, we all. Joseph was not a it was easy. It was easy for us.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks, guys.